Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. On behalf of Pastor Billy Cashwell and all of your friends at Benson Grove, let me welcome you to a Spirit-filled hour of singing and preaching from the Word of God. We invite you to tune in every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. You can contact us at 919-894-4120. We would love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. Now let's join the broadcast from Benson Grove.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled
Amen. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you this morning. It's good to be able to be assembled here today and celebrate this day, a Veterans Day, if we remember those who have served in our military over the years and what God has done through their lives. And we want to go to the Lord in this prayer and this morning and pray and ask God's blessing upon all our military. We welcome you this morning also, and let's go to the Lord this time in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon this United States of America. Lord, we thank you for those who have served over the years, many years ago, Lord, and those that are serving today. God, how you have used them to protect this nation and provide the freedoms that we have today. Lord, it we seem a little bit that there's some of this may be dwindling away, but God, we know that you are in control. We know that you have a perfect plan. And Lord, we says 365 times in your word that we shouldn't have fear. Lord, we're just going to trust you. We ask you today, Lord, to bless this nation. Continue, Lord. We ask you to bless those that are serving in the military. And God, we ask you to bless these that are on the platform today. Thank you for their service and for what they've done. And Lord, we give you the praise and glory for it all. Now, we ask you to be in the midst today, Lord, that you might visit us today and fill our hearts more of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're going to thank you for what you're going to do and give you the praise and glory for it all. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
You may be seated, and good morning and welcome to our Veterans Day celebration at Benson Grove Baptist Church. And we are excited that you're here. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the gentlemen behind me. If you'll give them another round of applause, please. At this time, we're each going to introduce ourselves, and they're welcome to tell a little bit of something about them if they would like. And then, gentlemen, when we're done, we'll take a picture over here. So if you'll just return to your spot, and then after I'm finished or whoever's last, we'll do it. Come over here. Okay? Good? Can you tell I teach school? I try not to use the voice in here, but I do. So I'm Lynetta Lockhart, and I was not in the Marines, in case you're wondering. I just walked last and behind Dave, but I'm not a Marine. I was in the Navy from 1992 to 1994, and I'm very proud to say that I served.
Hey, good morning. I served 20 years in the United States Marine Corps. I went to Iraq twice, and I just want to look back here, and I think I'm the second youngest. Jared's younger than me, but I look at everyone here, and I just want to tell you, I wanted to follow in y'all's footsteps. You guys were my heroes, and amazing. They're all amazing people. And, you know, God definitely led me to be a Marine. I joined during peacetime when nothing was happening. Just a quick story. I went to boot camp, and then after boot camp, we have combat training. So it's about, I don't know, about 8 total months of training. After that, you get to take leave, which is just time off with your family. My last day of leave was September 11th, 2001, exactly when wartime hit. And then when I retired, the war started, you know, they stopped the war. So I was there for the entire Iraqi war. And it was, you get to see a lot, and you know, you lose some people, you lose some friends. It's really hard to deal with the, you know, some of these guys, what they've had to deal with. It's a lot. So it's really stressful. And I just thank them for everything they do. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Stuart Brickhouse. I served in the Air Force from June of 1962 to June of 1966.
I'm Doug Walter. I served in the Air Force active duty from 19... I actually went in April Fool's Day, 1987. did active duty for 4 years. I was an IMA reservist at Tyndall Air Force Base from 1991 till 99.
Hey, I'm Jared. I served in the Air Force from the end of December of 2009 until October of 2014. I was a medic, seen a lot of stuff, and I deployed twice to Qatar, and I'm honored to be among these guys. I'm just a little nobody. These guys are the real ones right here.
My name is Anthony Harris. I served in the United States Air Force from December of 1976 to July of 1981. I was stationed in Georgia. I met my wife in Georgia and brought her up here. She's with me. My granddaughter's with me. And I come from a military family. My father was in the Marines. And her father was in the Air Force. And thank you.
I'm David Penny, and I got drafted during Vietnam. And my grandkids say, well, Granddaddy, which war did you serve in? Well, believe it or not, there was a second war in Korea from 1966 to August of 1974. And I was there from 73 to 74, and we lost 81 service members from 66 to 74, and they consider that the second Korean War. So I served in that, and then when I got back to Fort Bragg, they sent me to Germany, and there was something called a Cold War. If you never heard of that, that's us sitting there looking at Russia, and they're looking at us, and we got their missiles. So I was stationed with a Nike Herc missile battalion in Germany for 3 years. And then when I got back to Fort Bragg, they said, we need you down in Antigua. I don't know any of you's ever been to Antigua, West Indies, but it's a resort island. I said, I'm ready to go. Anyway, when I got to Antigua, we worked for the Voice of America undercover in 1982 and 83. And all that was building up to something called the Grenada invasion. And y'all can look that up. So there's 3 different wars, I guess, that I served in. And I retired a sergeant first class, and I was in 11 years in the Army. Thank you.
I'm Ronnie Upchurch, and I served 2 years in the Army. My basic was in Fort Bragg, and my AIT was over in Virginia. Then I went to Vietnam for a year. It's a gracious time. It was a tough time. But But I'm so thankful to God. He pulled me through it. We had our commander greeted us as we got there, and he said, we want you to know that there's 1,000 men in this battalion, and we just lost 500. But the Lord looked after us in that time frame, and he was gracious and loyal, and I feel so good about serving him and loving him, because that's what he wants us to do. I'd like to share something with you, if I may, and that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And those rights that God gave us, life, eternal life, is something that each of you should look at today. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, do by all means come before us today. Show your love to the Lord for what he has given you. These men, this wonderful church, our blessed preacher, and do by all means serve him. Come to the altar today if you want to love and serve God in the way that he should be served. That's my prayer to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Keith Braswell. I served in the Army from July of 67 to July of 70. I spent from February of 68 to February of 69 in Vietnam. I served with the 335th Transportation in the AmeriCal Division and was one of the ones blessed to make it back. But I ask you also think about the ones that didn't. They made the ultimate sacrifice. So as we celebrate the ones that made it back, always keep the ones that didn't in our mind and the ones that are missing in action until today.
I'm Robert Boyette, and I served in the Army and the Army National Guard from January 1985 to January of 2015.
Keith Langdon, I served in the Army from 68 to 71, stationed in Fort Lee, Virginia for about 31 months. I was on the post burial squad. We did military funerals, state of Virginia and West Virginia.
I'm Alan Marshman, Jr., served in the Army from 66 to 68, was in Vietnam from 67 to 68.
My name is Paul Sorrell. I served the Army National Guard from 1970 to 1976.
I'm Tim Beasley. I served in the USAR from 1970 to 1979. When I first got in, if you went to basic training, you pretty well could get you a plane ticket to go to Vietnam. In March of 69, one of my senior year in high school, one of my dad's brothers had just retired from the military with 33 years active. He came home to visit everybody, and I walked in from school and he was sitting there in the house one afternoon. He knew how old I was. He's got a daughter about 20 days older than I am. He says, you just turned 18, didn't you? I says, yeah. He says, did you register? I said, yes. He said, well, let me tell you something. He says, if there's any way you can keep from going to Vietnam, don't you go. He says, our family has put enough over there. At that time, I had a first cousin, Sam Ashworth, that had just escaped from a prison camp over there, which in about 10 years later, it finally killed him because his mind just wasn't right. But anyway, and my uncle told me that day, he says, but if you draft Dodge, I will personally hunt you down. He said, I won't have to send the MPs after you. I will hunt you down. Well, I look back now. I didn't realize this then, but I realize now that God opened up doors when I got in the military that kept me out of Vietnam. Now, I know that's hard to understand. It's a long story how it happened, but he opened up doors to put me in positions in the military that I won't going to go to Vietnam, because there's certain jobs in there they will not send you overseas unless you request to go over there. And I had no intentions of requesting to go to Vietnam at that time, because Vietnam, when I went in, was actually sort of on the downslope to an extent. But anyway, I look back now and I realize how much God had his hand on me then to keep me from going over there to Vietnam. Thank you.
I was in the National Guard, Smithfield unit, and proud of it, from 1970 to 76, 6 years of it. Had some good times, bad times, but I always had some good times.
Wayne Wall, I was in the service when you got a letter from Uncle Sam says, we want you. My wife and I got married November the 26th, 1966. And the next year, June of that year, I got a letter says, we want you, November the 19th, 1967. So I spent my first wedding anniversary at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. My wife came down, but the drill sergeant wouldn't let her see me, so... But, you know, God is good because I went on to training at Fort Gordon, Georgia. There was 12 weeks of training. The first 11 weeks all went to Vietnam. I was in the 12th week, and I ended up in the 7th Army in Europe.
I'm James G. Fowler, Private First Class U.S. Army, 520th MP Division, Paris, France. 1960-1962. Me and my wife was engaged. I spent the last 15 months in Paris. And this is when the Cuban crisis occurred, when I was just about to get out. I had 17 more days to do. And they had enlisted, they had extended all the rest of the services, the branch of the service, for 6 months, except the Army. And they were looking to do that. But that was during President Kennedy and Gorbachev, I believe, was in Russian. Anyway, they turned it around, and I was able to come home. And we got married on schedule. We've had a wonderful marriage. And I became a bricklayer. Well, I was already a bricklayer. And when I went in service, I had my little business started, and I went screaming and a-kicking, holding on to all the doors, trying to keep them going. But I went, and glad I did. Came back out, we got married, and I took up my masonry business. And so then, after about 10 years in it, my brothers was in the building business, and they asked me, said, Jimmy, are you going to lay brick forever? I said, well, you know, I enjoy it. He said, why don't you start building? So I did. And we built for 22 years. My wife is my partner in the building business. And then God sent a different thing for me to do. He saw that he wanted me in his army. And so I had some problems. And I had to give up my business. And God pulled me through it. And I told him, I said, good for the Lord. I haven't been witnessing for you like I should have been witnessing for you. But if you'll put them in my path, I'll witness to them. And he has, and I have. I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling it like it is. I've been able to pass out tracts and talk to people, and I don't leave them for them to get them. I put them in the hand and asked them to know Jesus. And God has blessed me so much. And he gave me such a joy to do that. And so I'm just thankful. I'm 88 years old, be 89 here in March. And God had just seemed like had an umbrella over me. Since 1994, I'd never received another check except from Social Security. And God has just looked after me. He has kept me health-wise. I had some issues, but God had just blessed me so. Our family has lived at the same stature that we lived before. And I have met so many wonderful people out there traveling around just locally. And you'd be surprised what nice people I have met. I have met a few of them that wasn't so nice. But you know what? It's our job to deal with them too. So I'm just thankful that God spared me and gave me a wonderful family, a wonderful church home. And I'm just so thankful that he has given me the opportunity to ask people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I accepted that, and I love it. And I just ask you to pray for my ministry, that God will allow me to do this until he takes me home. Thank you.
I'm Larry McLamb. I served in the Army from 1965 to 1968. I took basic and AIT at Fort Stewart, Georgia. And what I remember most about Fort Stewart, when I got out of basic and AIT, that we were assigned funeral details for South Georgia and Northern Florida. And I was one of the taller ones, so I always been one of the first one to pick for a fire squad. And I don't believe a week went by we didn't go on a funeral detail for Vietnam soldiers that didn't make it home on walking. They came home in a box. And I've seen families, young brides, small children, that their daddy or their mother one was laying in it. And that's something you don't never forget. I stayed there until September, and then they sent me to Germany, and I was stationed in Berlin for the rest of the time.
I'm Erskine Barber. I was in the United States Navy from 1972 to 1975. I was attached to the aircraft carrier, the USS Independence, and my job on there was repairing the aircraft, the electronic systems on the aircraft, and my specialty was the F-4 Phantom. And I was deployed twice overseas. In the lineup this morning, I noticed that we're missing Brother Sam Dixon. So, Chief Petty Officer Sam Dixon, we miss you.
I think most of you know who I am. And I was U.S. Navy from 1956 to 1960, and I just want to make sure that I let my lovely wife know that I've enjoyed every year of it since 1966. Thank you.
I'm Robert Hall. I was a United States Navy CB from October of 1988 to April of 1994. I was in during the Gulf War, but what lays on my heart this morning is the war that myself and a lot of other servicemen battled after, after a time of service, and it has to do with mental health, and it has to do with addiction that sometimes goes with that mental health. And that my best judgment and led me to living underneath a bridge in Selma. And luckily I was born and raised in a house that grew up with God. I was saved at an early age. I had turned my back on God, but God never turned his back on me. And while I was complaining to God, laying alongside a train track down there, I looked across and I seen a cross, what was Temple Baptist Church at the time. And I went over there, and God put me on the right path. And I was told for a while that I was an alcoholic and an addict, and there's no cure for that. I'm here to tell you today that's a lie. I serve a risen God. I serve a God that by the blood cured me of that. I am cured of alcohol and drug addiction. And my thought, my prayers are those that are out there suffering. If there's somebody that might be hearing that, whether you served in the military or not, there is a God that cures. There is a God that loves you. And I want to salute all my shipmates. I know they're not all Navy, but I was Navy, so they're my shipmates. And my church, my pastor, I love you.
Well, looks like I'm last. My name is Don Lyon. I served in the United States Navy for 4 years, and I was tickle pink that I did. I'm in and out, and I'm proud of the Navy. Thank you very much.
I want to pray for the offering today, ask the ushers to come forward. Is it an honor to be a part of something like this? Do you thank those that have gone before us? Praise God for you. Praise God for every one of you. Hallelujah. Oh, glad to be a part of it. How about praying with us? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being our God. Lord, everything we take for granted, it comes from your hand. Lord, everything we have, we surrender over and submit it over to you. We lift the name of Jesus up, that name above all names. I pray, Father, that you would permeate over everything that our lives touch, everything, our homes and our children and grandchildren, our finances, our vehicles, everything that we touch. Let it be marked with the presence of Jesus and the name above all names. Lord, thank you for our service, men and women, those honored today that have paid a price, Lord, that we enjoy freedom because of what they have gone through. May we never take it for granted what they have gone through in behalf of their offspring and those of us that can reap the benefits of it. Thank you for our great country. We pray for it, Lord. We see it. That the enemy is always battling against it. And we see things put in place that's not good, as was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. But ultimately, Lord, we're looking for a country that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're going to go home one day. And hallelujah, what's that going to be like? Thank you, Lord, that we're able to be a part of this great country. And we lift up and we reverence those men and women who have gone before us. Thank you for their sacrifice that they've made this day. Now bless this offering, Lord. Thank you for the man of God and his wife that you sent here, because ministry begins in heaven. And we love him today, not just because he's a good preacher, but because he was sent from the Holy Spirit of God to this place. May you bring to completion the thing you started, our Lord. And be exalted in all that we do as we lift the name and the banner of Jesus Christ above all. In Jesus' name. All God's people said amen. Amen. Amen.
This country's been blessed. If tomorrow all the things were gone I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit on down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
I love that song, and he does such a great job with it, and so I always appreciate him and everyone who helps me with this. We are going to do the family testimonies. If you would like to share of a loved one or a friend that served, I know these gentlemen talked a lot, and they know a lot of people, but we want to hear from you. So at this time, if you'll come to the podium and share about your loved one, whether living or deceased. I know I come from a military family, a father and two brothers who served, and one retired, two retired, and one that sort of served his time. He got hurt and had to get out, but we all four served proudly. So I come from a military family, imagining that's why it is incredibly important to me. We have some folks coming in.
So, my dad's not here today. We're in the process of our family dog is passing away. It may sound silly, but between that and, like Mr. Roberts said, the unseen scars that they come home with, the demons that they fight, I thank God for that. He brought my husband home to me. He did two year-long tours in Iraq, and then multiple tours all around the world. We missed, I tell him, up until Elijah was born, we missed almost every birthday, literally every anniversary, and everything in between minus Christmas. We were always somehow able to spend Christmas together. I have two children born in Camp Lejeune and two born in Arizona. I followed my husband around wherever the Marine Corps led us, up and down across the United States. I can't, living the life of in a military to town is a lot different than living in the civilian world, as they call it. My husband, retiring out of the Marine Corps, left him with a bunch of scars, and unfortunately, the civilian world doesn't understand those scars because they're unseen. And And so I'm just the thankful that he's here with us today. He's still fighting those battles, even though he's not in. And I pray for all of those who are still in and fighting for us, because there's a lot the news and the media don't talk about. And they're all over, contrary to what the news wants you guys to think. And I just wanted to thank, we have a friend. Many of our friends have retired, but we still have one in Okinawa, and we're praying for them and that the Lord could keep them safe. Thank you guys for all your service that you've done. It's because of you that my two children can worship freely.
Some of you may not know me. I'm Shirley Purdy. I just joined a church a couple of weeks ago, and I love it here. I want to honor U.S. Veterans Day tribute in love and memory of Kenneth Poole, U.S. Today on Veterans Day, I celebrate and remember a very special man, Kenneth Poole. Kenneth was not only one of the kindest and most selfless men I have ever known, but also my brother-in-law and my beloved husband, Gene Purdy's best friend. Kenneth would do anything to help others, even if it meant giving his very last penny to do so. He served bravely in the United States Army and was sent to Vietnam when he risked his own life to save another soldier. For that act of courage, Kenneth was awarded the Purple Heart by the President of the United States. His bravery on the battlefield was extraordinary, but his true greatness was found in his heart. Kenneth later lost his life due to Agent Orange exposure from his time in Vietnam, a reminder of the lasting sacrifices so many of our heroes have made. Kenneth changed my life forever when he, in 1969, introduced me to the love of my life, Gene Purdy. It was a blind date, and from that moment on, it was love at first sight. Gene and I shared 52 and a half beautiful years together, a fairy tale marriage built in love, laughter, and faith. My beloved Gene passed away on January 12, 2024, but I will always be thankful that we were part of Kenneth's life, and he was part of ours. Through him, we learn what it means to live with courage, to love deeply, and to be kinder people. Today, I honor Kenneth Poole, a brave soldier, a loyal friend, and a man whose kindness touched every life around him. He will always hold a special place in my heart. And on this Veterans Day, I also celebrate, give thanks for all the men and women who have served our great nation. Their courage and sacrifice will never be forgotten. A hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself. Thank you, Kenneth Poole, and thank you all the veterans. Your bravery and your love continue to inspire all of us in the United States. God bless you.
So I know all of y'all know my dad, Michael, or most of y'all call him Mikey, but I just want to, he's not here, but he's watching online. I just want to say thank you for everybody who served, because y'all are the reason that I have a safe nation to call home without anybody like intruding. And I just want to say thank you, especially to my dad. He's my hero, and I'm very proud and honored to have an amazing man and veteran like him to call my father. And he served for, I think, 4 years, and he was a prison guard. And if it wasn't for him, in his part in the Army, I don't know where this country would be at right now. But I just want to say thank you to my dad, and I love you so much. And thank you to all the veterans who have served and the ones that are still serving today. Thank you for serving.
I'd just like to thank the Lord and praise him for saving me and for a church like this, and where we can come and celebrate freely. the love of God, and all these precious men who've given their time and service to us to keep us free. And I had four brothers, and all of whom served our country. And I just wanted to thank the Lord for that. And I also, the Lord laid something on my heart recently concerning the tracts and Brother Jimmy's testimony about making the Lord known in the New Testament. I can't remember his name, but he wanted to see Jesus before he died. He just wanted and make the Lord known to his generation. And that's my prayer for us. And myself, I enjoy giving out the tracts too. And we have them here, and we have the freedom to give them out. And I just pray that we all might go forward and do that. We have that. That's a great way to make him known. You can lay them in bathrooms, send them in your cards. But then, like Brother Jimmy said, pray for holy boldness, and God will give it to you. And you'll just meet the nicest, sweetest people. There are very few of those who are negative. And people, there's never been a better time to be alive. And people are looking and searching. You can see the hurt on their faces. I know when I started giving them out, like 50 years ago, I think, and I give God all the glory. I have nothing to brag about. But the young people, a lot of them knew John 3:16. But now, the more you ask, so many don't even know our people. They don't know John 3:16. So I just pray that, you know, that you'll get you some. They're behind the doors, and just pass them out. And thank God for our many blessings.
Good morning. My name is Camille Deal. My husband, Travis Deal, served in the Army for 7.5 years. We brought two beautiful boys into the world while we lived in Savannah, Georgia. We were very lucky. He served in a specialty unit. He served with the 1st Ranger Battalion, so we didn't have to move around a lot. Sorry, Dad, we did buy a couple houses while we were down there and moved around just for, you know, to say we did it. But conveniently, every single time we moved, Travis either deployed or was sent for this last minute, we got you a spot, you've got no choice but to go training. So that man has only moved us once in all of the times that we have moved, and it's probably about 8 times. But Travis and I started dating in high school in 2014. In 2017, he joined the military against everything his mama and I begged him not to do. And I knew it was coming, and I told myself, no, there's no way. He loves me so much, he'll never leave. That was silly. I know he was going, he sets his head to it, and he goes. I was extremely proud to be a military spouse. But there's things you don't realize until you're sort of hurtled into that life. Travis and I were 20 years old, and we were sitting on the countertop of our apartment complex laundry room. We were not approved for a credit card to buy a washing machine. So we sat in the laundry room and we filled out paperwork where they ask you, who do you want to carry your casket? And we joked that who in the world were... who were we going to ask to bear that burden? And we didn't have children at the time, but there were questions on there about who would, you know, handle your finances and take your children. And I remember we called. We called his dad. And we asked him 100 questions that we didn't know the answers to. And at the time, we laughed about it. He joked that he wanted his funeral song to be Good Times. When I think of all the good times that I've wasted having good times. And for a little while, things were fun. They got off of work early every day. They trained in the middle of the night, and he jumped out of planes, and
Then he deployed when our oldest son was 6 weeks old. And he turned 22 in a nation that didn't care anything about him. And on the night of his birthday, my husband was hit by the shrapnel of a grenade. And that phone call from him was the scariest thing that I've ever endured in my entire life. We call them red line calls. When a unit deploys, you had certain spouses that were ready to make red line calls to the rest of the team to let them know that someone had called home to their family and told them that they were hurt overseas. And around the time that Travis was calling me and everyone else was sending out red line calls to the other spouses, there were people that were hurt much more severely than he was. And those things stick with you. We were in a very family-oriented unit in the Army. The 1st Ranger Battalion takes their families very seriously. We got together a lot. We did holidays together, and we really truly loved each other. And around the time that Travis was hurt, another person that he served with lost 3 of his limbs. And that was the first time in military history a blood transfusion has been done in the battlefield, under cover fire, vein to vein. And they flew him to Germany. They refueled in the air. And then they flew him to San Antonio, where he spent years. And Travis served closely with him, and he had the opportunity to go see him in the hospital. And that man is a true, true American hero. He and his family still live in Savannah, actually, and when we go down there, we make a point to go see the people that we, you know, lived so closely with for 7.5 years Travis served. And those memories are things that we hold near and dear. I didn't hate being a military spouse. I love my husband. I'm extremely proud of him. I continue to be proud of him. He's actually not here today because he now works for the Sheriff's Department, and he worked all night last night, so he's sleeping this morning. But he does not boast, he does not brag, probably because I don't give him the opportunity to. I do it enough for him. I'm extremely, extremely proud of my husband and his multiple combat deployments and his Purple Heart and his endless awards and his humble nature. And I'm also extremely proud of my mom, who's here today, who served in the Air Force as well as the National Guard and spent many years, long before I was born, serving our country. And I'm thankful for her service as well.
That's wonderful.
Good morning. You know, we have several military people in our family. Normally, I don't ever come up and talk about it, but I was just thinking, first of all, this morning, the teenage girl who came up here. Every teenager in America should take a pill every day of what you have. That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Kudos to a young person with that kind of attitude towards America. I was just thinking about different people in my family who have served in the military, and I think about my grandpa. My grandpa Hoffman served in World War I, and this is a history lesson for you kids. That's when Theodore Roosevelt was the President of the United States. And then I think of, or was it Woodrow Wilson. It was one of those. I can't remember. I'm sure somebody will fact check me on Google before I sit down. Which leads me to my next point. I can remember my mom talking about the fact that she had six brothers, and they all served in World War II at one point. And they didn't have the communication like we have today. So when they would write a letter home to mom, it took forever to get back to the States. I was looking at a letter I found going through some old boxes of my mom's even the other day. I have a letter on my desk at home dated 1951 from my uncle, who had written a letter, and it's still in the original envelope from 1951. Mom had saved all those years as a young person. My father, Jack Hoffman, Sr., served in the Air Force. I have an uncle, Bill Hoffman, who served in the Korean War. I had a cousin, Larry Wright, who served in Vietnam and came home never the same mentally. I have a nephew whose picture is on the wall back here in our church, who now is retired from the Marines. He was special ops. And so I'm just very, very grateful for all of you, men and women, who gave of yourselves. I don't think that even people my age, I just don't think we get it. I try to get it, but I don't think we get it, how fortunate we are to live in a country like we do, like we still can. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Missing Man's Table is a symbolic gesture that our military and our families use to recognize both the missing and the fallen from our nation's wars and conflicts. And so it really is just a gesture, a symbolic gesture for us to remember them by, especially during functions and in this case, our place of work here at New Day USA.
When I see a missing man table, it makes me pause. It stops me in my tracks. I see somebody in that chair. I see people I know. I see people I've read about.
You realize there's a comrade in arms that could be sitting there with us today, and he's not. He or she is not there, and that gets you right here.
It'll be a daily reminder that that's what we are here to do at New Day, that we are here to serve those who have served.
When you really look at that table and you really think about what that person went through, it's real.
The table is smaller than the others. The drape over the table represents the purity of their response to our country's call to arms. The empty chair depicts an unknown face representing no specific soldier, airman, or marine, but all who are not here with us. The round table shows that our concern for them is never ending. The Bible represents faith in a higher power and the pledge to our country, founded as one nation under God. The single red rose reminds us of their families and loved ones. The red ribbon represents the love of our country, which inspired them to answer the nation's call. The yellow candle and its ribbon symbolizes the everlasting hope for a joyous reunion with those yet accounted for. The slice of lemon on the bread plate reminds us of their bitter fate. The salt upon the bread plate represents the tears of their families. The inverted glass reminds us that our distinguished comrades cannot be with us to drink a toast or join in the festivities. Now, please turn your attention to the battlefield cross on the screen above. A battlefield cross is a memorial that honors soldiers who have died in battle and is made up of a soldier's boots, rifle, and helmet. The boots, they're worn and dirty. The boots represent the soldier's final march. The rifle, thrust into the ground, the rifle signifies that the soldier fought to the end. The helmet, placed on top of the rifle, the helmet represents what the soldier stood for. The dog tags, sometimes placed on the rifle, dog tags are imprinted with the information about the soldier. May we always honor America's POW MIAs and pray for safety for all active duty military now serving our nation. Please stand.
Friends, you've been listening to the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. We pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you and that God's Word would speak to your heart throughout the week. If we can assist you, please call the church offices at 919-894-4120. We'd love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. We also invite you to attend the services at Benson Grove. The church is located on Highway 50, just 6 miles north of Benson. If you cannot attend in person, join our live internet broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. Just open your computer web browser to www.bensongrovebaptist.org. Choose the Sermons tab and follow the instructions on the screen. Join us for the Benson Grove Baptist Hour each Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. God bless you and have a great day.